One of the most challenging tasks facing a pastor is how to create unity in a parish. There are so many forces that are tugging and pulling at the fabric of the unity of the parish, dividing the community, separating us from one another. It's all very human. I mean, just look how we come to Mass and people gather in the back. Catholics don't like to sit down in front of the church. And we sit as far away as we can from other people. Just look around and see what happens here. And the same thing happens with the entire community in a number of different ways. And you see it reflected all the time. People gather in their favorite groups with people they like. And it's difficult for them to move together with people with whom they are unfamiliar. And in parishes, this happens with Mass times. People who go to the 5 o'clock don't mess around with the people at the 8 o'clock or the 9:30 or any of the other parishes. Try moving around once in a while. Watch what happens. You're going to meet somebody you might really like. In worldly pursuits, this happens also all the time. In business, it happens in groups like neighborhoods and professional societies. It happens in labor unions. It happens in political parties. It even happens in gangs. It's a pretty human activity. And what we're trying to do is call people to unity in God, in Jesus Christ. And that's our mission. Our mission is very simple. Call people to unity with God. It's pretty simple. But we tend to stay in our comfort zones, and that actually works against the unity of our common mission to call all people to repentance and salvation. In that first reading, we see a good example of that with the prophet Amos. Amos was from Judah. I need you to picture Israel as having northern kingdoms and southern kingdoms, and they split around the year 900. So King Saul, King David, King Solomon were in a line. They had the 12 tribes in what we call Israel. And then Solomon's son was a scalawag. He was a divisive person, and the nation divided into two kingdoms. The south broke off from him, and the northern 10 kingdoms remained in what people called at the time, and you see it in the Old Testament, Israel. If you see in the Old Testament, you see the word Israel, they're talking about in the later centuries, they're talking about the northern kingdoms. They disappeared after the year 900 when Syria took over them. Now, before they disappeared, before the breakdown of that kingdom, Amos was called. He was sent by God. He was living in Judah in the south, where there's one large tribe, Judah, and there's a second tribe, Benjamin, and when we talk about the southern tribes, that's what we talk about is Judah. And he was just a shepherd. He was not a wealthy, influential person by any means. He was a dresser of sycamores, they said. What that means is he cultivated figs. He was a harvester of figs. However, God intervened in his life and sent him as a prophet up north to prophesy to the 10 northern tribes that were soon to disappear. They would disappear for 900 years until the coming of Jesus. Jesus was called to call them, came to call them back into unity with the 12 tribes to restore Israel. In the northern kingdoms at the time, as they broke away from Judah, they kept the tradition of prophets, but their prophets tended not to be, they said they were prophesying for God, but truthfully they became more like wise men and magicians. And then they became syndicates, and they were hired by the kings to guide them with prophecy. And they were like a labor union. They protected their own. And here comes this guy out of the south, Amos. And they're thinking he's trying to horn in on their territory. So the priest of that northern kingdom says to Amos, "Off with you, visionary. Flee to the land of Judah. Go home. There earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel," the region in the north where he was. "For it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." And the prophet Amos responded that God had sent him from Judah to Israel, telling him, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd. I was a dresser of sycamores. And the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" And he warned them. And unlike professional prophets, God is the sender of prophets, not man. Amos was explaining to them that he didn't have a choice. God sent him on his prophecy mission. Amos was no professional. God sent him to the northern tribes to call them back to unity, to wake them up, to get them to come to their senses and be reunited with the family of the nation of Israel that God had established himself. And so it is with missions, with missionaries. The mission is never our own mission. We don't own it. We don't own the message. It's God's mission. It's God's message. And so we learn something very important about missions and missionaries. The mission belongs to God, to call us to unity, to call us to obedience, obedience to God, unity with Him and with one another. And the mission is always a call to be reunited. Lost sheep are called to join God's people. That's our prophetic role, whether we belong to ministries like Christ Renews His Parish, or CNI, or the Knights of Columbus, or the choir. Our prophetic role is to call people to repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. That's why we're church. There's no other reason. By virtue of our baptism and confirmation, we are all missionaries, every one of us, because of those sacraments. We're charged with going out, not coming in, but going out to call God's people back to unity with Him. We're called to go to strange places to spread the word of God and His promises. Governments don't like missionaries, but missionaries and prophets don't belong to the government, but to God. We must now become missionaries to our own country to proclaim God's view of life, God's view of marriage. It's not convenient, it's not comfortable, but it's not our message. In the gospel, Jesus sends out the disciples on their training missions two by two. We are accountable to one another, and He knew that they needed to be accountable to the community, accountable to one another. Having mission partners helps keep us focused on our message and our mission. What is the objective of mission work? Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. So they went off and they preached repentance. Don't be separated. Come back to unity. The 12 drove out many demons. The demons want to separate us. And they anointed with oil many who were sick, and he cured them, make them whole. That's the role of mission, of prophets. Our role, the work of baptized Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, is the salvation of the world. We cannot do our work if we insist upon staying in our favorite little groups or let somebody else do it. People get comfortable and they get stuck in their ministries and in their Bible studies, and we forget about Jesus' commandment at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, in the very last paragraph, the very last chapter, where Jesus tells us is, go. Go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's our mission. English-speaking communities often dare not go out among their Hispanic brothers and sisters, and Hispanics do exactly the same thing. People involved in liturgical service tend to think that liturgical service is ministry. I got news for you. Liturgical service is not ministry. It's worship. And we're all called to worship. I'm called to worship. Choir's called to worship. Liturgical service is worship. But by our baptism, we're called to go out into the world and expand God's kingdom on earth. If you haven't ventured out into the deep, if you haven't taken some risky trips out to the fringes of our community, or invited somebody to Mass, or brought to them the unifying word of our salvation, of repentance, even if it was inconvenient, maybe that's what God's calling you to do, to get out of your comfort zone, to preach repentance. Somebody has to have the courage to do that and call people to unity in the kingdom of God.